In a world where Hollywood has run out of ideas, three movie fans come up with their own. The Casual Cowards are still reeling. And this time, it's personal.
Well, this can't be as bad as Enemy Mine.
What the fuck is Enemy Mine?
You've never seen that movie?
No, isn't that what Princess Diana used to do before she died?
No.
Pick up landmines?
It's a sci-fi movie from the 80s. Stars Randy Quaid.
I'm in already.
And Louis Gossett Jr.
Randy Quaid.
What happened to Louis Gossett?
No, I'm sorry. Not Randy. Dennis. It's Dennis Quaid.
I remember this movie.
Yeah.
Didn't the alien was pregnant or some shit?
Yeah, so they're two dudes stuck on a planet. It's like us, the Terrans, I think they call us in the movie, versus these aliens. They get stuck on this remote planet together for like 10, 15 years or something, or some shit like that. And at the end, he finds out that the guy he's been stuck on the planet with, the alien, was pregnant.
So, the whole time?
Yeah, apparently. So
gestation period.
He fucking gives birth to the baby. Dies, and then they finally get rescued. So
he raises the baby.
He adopts the baby.
That is so
sweet. Takes it back to Earth?
The movie ends at that point.
You can't just bring an alien back to Earth. There's protocol, man.
Yeah, well, man. You got to check that shit, bro.
It's the future. I mean, I'm sure humans have other outposts and places to live. And
this is bullshit.
Yeah, but there's no such thing as a duty-free baby.
That works. That works on two levels.
That's right. Oh, there's a picture of the baby. That thing is slimy.
Yeah, what if it pisses acid? You don't know.
Yeah, dude.
Just take a baby.
Yeah, you got to do your baby background check.
Take a baby, leave a baby.
I mean, if you're going to pick up a baby, you might want to ask see the baby facts.
The baby facts. Yeah. Has this baby been in any collisions or had any body work done?
Don't check the baby fox. Check baby facts.
Baby fox, that's a totally different corner of the internet, bro. You do not want to mess with that.
All right, rule 34, baby fox.
Oh, man.
But welcome to another episode of Still Reeling. I'm Charles.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Chester.
All right.
Here we are.
Another
Born
week.
To be kings.
Yeah. We're the princes of the universe.
All right.
The song's fucking awesome. I don't care what anybody says.
No.
I fucking love that song.
Like, did you watch The Highlander just so you could listen to that song and then just turn it off? Highlander sucks at this song, though.
Are you saying Highlander as a whole?
Yeah, just the series with the crappy song on it.
Oh, the TV show.
With the crappy Queen song that you love so much.
It's not a crappy Queen song, for one. And the TV show is actually kind of good.
I mean, it's no Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, it's better.
It's no Fat Bottom Girls.
Ooh, Fat Bottom Girls is a good one.
That guy didn't even like regular bottom girls.
That's the best part of the song.
That's the ironic twist.
That's the best part.
Right?
Like, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
But you got to give him props because that came out years before I Like Big Butts, and I Cannot Lie, right? Sir Mix-a-Lot song?
That was a valid point.
That was the whole inspiration for that song, probably.
You think so?
Yeah. It's the original, bro. It's the progenitor.
I'm going to make the rap version of this song.
This goes out to my boy, Freddie. R.I.P.
I mean, they
cut the original intro and put in the two girls.
They're
talking.
Basically the same song.
Well, yeah, it was too long. Yeah,
basically.
I mean, that was like the late '80s. They may get caught up in the AIDS scare.
Oh.
It's a political thing, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, it sucks, man. Well,
speaking of politics, you guys want to talk about politics?
Probably not the best time for that, buddy.
Probably never a good time for that.
No. I could spend like 3 hours, bro.
Let's get drunk and we'll talk about it afterwards.
All right.
We'll get in a fight out in the driveway.
Well, speaking of, what have you been up to this week?
Dude, you gotta hit me last. I got a ton of stuff to talk about.
All right.
I went to the Game On Expo and I got stuff. You got to skip me.
All right, we'll revisit.
I'm going to take up some time.
What about you, Chester?
Watch some movies, as I do. I saw The Big Sick, which was Kumail Nanjiani's movie.
For good things.
I liked it a lot. It was very funny and very emotional.
Okay. Did you get a little misty?
I did.
Like
I recommend
baby, baby mama.
Kind of. That movie, I had to have a whole box of Kleenex for that one.
Yeah.
You're jerking off so
different
much.
Reasons. Different reasons of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was shooting out of both ends.
Are we still talking about baby mama?
Yes.
Which one got pregnant? The blonde one? Or was it Tina Fey?
It was,
no,
it was
with Tina Fey's baby.
The blonde one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tina Fey with the business, son.
So that was a great movie. Last night I saw The Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Oh, how was that?
Yeah.
Really?
It was all right.
I wanted that to be good.
I wanted it to be good, too. Two actors known for their delivery of one-liners.
It's almost like Ryan Reynolds isn't good.
Hey, I love Van Wilder.
Hmm. I like Ryan Reynolds, but he played the straight man in that. He was the serious guy.
Really?
Which was weird. And then Samuel L. Jackson had all the one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
In fact...
That's so backwards.
I was going to play a game with you guys. I wrote down some one-liners, and I want you guys to guess who said what, now that I just told you that Ryan Reynolds didn't have any.
So they're all Sam Jackson. We win.
Right? Hold on. Okay, other than that, I also watched... who's the actor who plays Black Panther?
Chadwick Boseman.
I watched his Netflix original movie, Message from the King.
Yeah.
Good movie.
Pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. That's all I've been up to. But here, I'm going to ask you. Okay, here's the first one. I'll give you some easy ones first, okay?
All right.
Who said? Which character said, "Bitch, please"?
Sam Jackson.
Got
it's
it.
A tough one.
That's
good one. Okay. Yeah. Next. Relax, motherfucker. If you hear the shot, it wasn't meant for you.
Sam Jackson. He's motherfucker right in
right,
there.
Yeah. It's right in there.
Like, that's a dead giveaway right there.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess bullets are just allergic to me, motherfucker.
I gotta go with Sam Jackson again.
Ooh, no, I was gonna say that's a Ryan Reynolds right there, buddy.
He got really? It. He was impersonating Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
Okay, how about TikTok, motherfucker?
Oh, okay. Ooh, I'm gonna go with Samuel Jackson on that one.
That was Sam Jackson. That one. Okay. Okay. This character said this in French. I don't speak French.
Motherfucker?
Nope. There was no motherfucker on that one.
It was just, I don't speak French?
It was a big giveaway.
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds said that one, good.
Oh, yeah, because he's fucking Canadian.
There's no black people in France.
All right, final one.
Valid point.
Yeah. You can't kill him. He is like La Cucaracha.
Boy.
I'm going to say that was Ryan Reynolds.
That was a trick question. That was Selma Hayek in reference to Samuel L. Jackson. She played his wife. That's right.
It's good that she's still getting parts.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Have you seen that movie,
she's
Everly?
Got parts, bro.
Have you seen the movie Everly with her in it?
No, man. I don't watch movies.
Oh, dude. It's on Netflix. It's fucking good. She's a hit woman.
Ooh.
Who gets trapped in her own apartment by people coming to kill her.
Okay.
Is it Stallone and... what's his face?
No, it is not the cast of Assassins. Antonio Banderas is not here.
Banderas, there you go.
He does not look at a laptop and get very excited.
And I'm tired. I'm going to have a hard time with names today.
No, it's a pretty good movie. And she's half naked for a good portion of it, too.
Oh, so I love half naked Selma Hayek.
I prefer all naked, but yeah. I'll settle.
Yeah.
I'll take what I can get.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fucking Dust Till Dawn. Man.
Goddamn.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Desperado?
Goddamn.
That's a good looking lady.
Yeah.
Charles, what have you been up to?
Not a whole lot, man. I went to go see Atomic Blonde last week.
How was that? I almost saw that last
week. It's a really good movie, actually. Yeah. It's really, really good.
Okay.
Like, I would say, like, if you're judging it on the John Wick scale, mm-hmm. like, not as good as John Wick 2. Better than the first John Wick.
Okay.
Wait, I thought John Wick 2 wasn't as good as John Wick 1.
Oh, no. John Wick 2 is way better than the first one.
Huh. It's weird because the first one was really good. The
first one's really good.
Did you finally watch it?
Yeah.
Good for you.
The first one's really good. The second one's even better.
I heard. So this is.
The second one has Common.
I love Common.
Yeah.
I
mean, it loses points for Common. But
you don't like Common?
Why do you like him as a rapper? As an actor? Fuck him.
I like him as an actor. Well, he's also in Suicide Squad.
Did you
the
watch.
The good movie he was in. Well, the movie he was good in.
Smoking Aces.
Yes.
Yeah,
he's good in that.
Did you watch Hell on Wheels?
I watched a season of it.
He's all right in that.
Nah, fuck him in
that's
that
what I base. Every time I go to the barbershop and I want him to cut my beard, I pull a picture of Common. And I want to get it trimmed in like nice triangular shape.
Yeah.
Huh, like, can you make me look like this, but fat and white?
In a long time. And they say, I got you,
absolutely.
Fam. I got you, fam.
Barber, have you seen the cover of the Common album B? Yes. Give me that.
Give me that. So I heard the Atomic Blonde is pretty much just female John Wick.
Yeah, thematically, yes, it is. It's set right before the Berlin Wall comes down, they used that as the backdrop for like all the Cold War ridiculousness and the soundtrack, which is really fucking good. Like really good 80s cuts.
I was gonna say it's got a time appropriate soundtrack. It's not like Chemical Brothers and shit.
And the thing is, like, what's awesome about it is like it has 80s music, but it has a couple of standards. Like 99 Love Balloons is in it. That's kind of like a given if you're doing anything about the Cold War.
Yeah.
But it has some shit that you normally wouldn't hear when you think about the 80s. Like it has like a little, like a not little known, but a little talked about Depeche Mode song that they used during a car chase. It's really fucking good. I love Depeche Mode.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't think anyone under like 40 like Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode songs consist of a single phrase repeated 75 times.
That's like most music, bro.
I disagree.
It's most pop music.
That's Depeche Mode. That's all their songs are.
I'm not a fan. I don't know enough to get into this argument.
We'll leave it at that.
All right, fair enough.
Anything else?
But no, not much.
Play
some video games?
Well, I guess,
I want to know what video games you play. Oh, what's up?
Well, Atomic Blonde is based off a comic book series, right?
Yeah.
Of the same name, I assume?
No, it's called The Coldest City.
Better title. Just saying.
It's not as marketable.
Atomic Blonde is a terrible
name. It's a comic book movie with a strong female character. Is it better than Tank Girl?
That
well, what? How many?
Tank
Girl
is good for
speaking
for
of speaking of rappers.
Completely
who act.
How many
reasons.
Movies can we compare? So we've got Tank Girl, Wonder Woman, and then the Supergirl movie.
They're gonna make one they made back in like the '80s or 90s.
That movie was fucking garbage.
Yeah, it was dog shit.
Fuck.
So there's only, I guess there's four now. There's four comic book movies with strong female leads.
You got Catwoman.
Oh, Catwoman.
Can't forget that classic.
Can't forget that. Wasn't there an Elektra movie?
Oh, yeah.
Technically, the Red Sonja movie is a comic book movie.
Okay, Red Sonja.
There's
a classic.
Shit. That's my jam, son.
There's a classic right there.
So, like, honestly, if we're getting on the scale, Red Sonja is the top.
Red Sonja followed by Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde, yeah.
And then Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
And then Catwoman.
Okay. I mean, it drops dramatically after Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It plummets.
But, well, Tank Girl, just because it's dumb and fun. It's not a good movie.
Ice-T's,
but it is a dumb and fun movie.
Ice-T's finest work.
I think
we can all agree.
I've always wanted to see Ice-T.
Ice-T's best work was Johnny Mnemonic.
As a kangaroo.
Fair enough.
Oh, I fucking love that movie too. But Tank Girl is one of those movies where you look back and you're like, all right, it's shitty now, but when it came out, that was the fucking shit, man. Like, it is such a 90s movie that it's not even funny.
Oh, it's quintessentially 90s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I think it might be hard to find any one movie that is more 90s than that.
Ninja Turtles.
Nah, man.
Which one?
Secret of the Ooze.
Nah, man. That's pretty
good. Go, Ninja. Go, Ninja. Go.
It's got Vanilla Ice in it.
Fuck. You might have a point. You might have a point. Fuck. I forgot about that. You might be right.
Ugh.
It has Vanilla Ice. So much pizza at product placement.
What about Batman Forever? Is that the one that was all neon?
No.
That
one had a lot of neon green in it, but
Batman and Robin went
over
the top with it.
Right, the rollerblading gang members with their glow-in-the-dark clothes.
It had Coolio in it, dog.
There was like the alleyways had black lights. All the alleys were lit up with black lights.
That's how Gotham City is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Coolio was in that?
Coolio was in Batman and Robin.
Who did he play?
He just played a random gang leader. Like when she...
Oh, yeah. When she went
when
out
she
to
goes
try
to race.
To, yeah. Holy shit.
Anything with Alicia Silverstone is going to be very
I thought
90s.
He was playing the Hanukkah song.
Right?
And Chris O'Donnell.
Man, those two, they're like as soon as fucking like 12:01 a.m. on January 1st, 2000, careers were dead. So then, like never heard another fucking word from
right?
them.
I want to apologize right now. For
they're
what
stuck
I just
in a
said.
Time loop, probably. They're just reliving the 90s forever.
Damn, son.
I was
intense.
Talking about I was
That'd
talking about
cool.
Coolio and I said Hanukkah zombie and I really meant Quanzabot and I feel bad about it.
There's a movie idea. Yeah. Instead of Groundhog's Day, the 90s. Just
they never end.
Reliving the same 10 years over and over forever.
Dude, that'd be badass.
Starring Chris O'Donnell and Alicia Silverstone.
We got to get a third person in it that's just not getting out of the 90s.
Okay, Prince?
Freddie Prinze Jr.?
Freddie Prinze Jr., even better.
Ooh, all right. That's a good one.
Although he was in the Scooby-Doo movie.
Yeah, he got out.
He got out. He escaped.
That was later than the 90s?
Hold on. We'll stick close to him. Rachel Lee Cook. The classic She's All That.
There you go.
That poor girl.
It's an M. Night Shyamalan joint. Dead serious.
No way.
He fucking wrote She's All That.
For real?
Yeah.
What a twist.
Exactly.
Yeah, you stole my line, you son of a bitch.
It makes sense going looking back on it.
I'm tired
of
shit.
It has a twist in the middle of it.
I am not going to have any zingers today. You got to let me have that one.
All right, so what have you been up to, Ryan?
Regale us.
All right.
We'll stay a while.
So I went to the Game On Expo out here in beautiful, sunny Arizona. Perfect weather for it in the middle of August.
Well, it's not outdoors, is it?
It was at the Phoenix Convention Center this year. Okay. So Dirk came out. For all of you old school listeners, you remember Dirk. For new school listeners, go listen to old episodes and you'll figure out who Dirk is. Dirk's one of my BFFs. Not my BFF, but he's close. He's up there. Like if Dan died.
He's in your top three, two?
He's up there. So if Dan died, he could probably squeeze in there. So he came out and we had a few drinks. It was great. We went down Friday and we met up with his Arizona Nintendo Collectors group.
Oh, boy.
Who actually turned out to be really cool guys, most of them. Nice. Yeah, some of them were the awkward nerd you would expect. But this one dude, Todd, he looked like 6 foot Chester and acted like Ryan.
All right.
Yeah.
So if you and I had a baby.
If we had a baby, if we had a humongous baby.
So you found your baby.
That was Todd.
If we had a baby, it would be humongous, but not tall. It wouldn't be lengthwise.
So one of the guys that was running that thing, that booth, they had a booth set up where they were selling video games and stuff. And I guess somehow through somewhere he knows this guy, Jeffrey Wittenhagen. Now, he's the guy that wrote, I don't know if you remember, I got on that Kickstarter to get that Nintendo Collector's Guide. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that wrote that.
Okay.
He writes a bunch of collector's books. You know, you check off, I got the game, I got the box art, I got the whatever, the book and all that shit. Mm-hmm. So he ended up having the booth right next to us. So we were like hanging out and he kind of, after a day of drinking, on Saturday, he comes over and he sits down at the booth and kind of leans over to me and he's like, hey man, I don't want to spoil anything, but I think we're going to party with Scorpion tonight. So... most of the original mocap actors from Mortal Kombat were there.
Oh shit!
At the convention, So the guy Daniel Piscina,
Did like half of those fucking
things. He was Johnny Cage on the side of the cabinet. The guy doing the jump kick, that was Daniel Piscina. I guess he wanted to go out Friday night, but no one else wanted to go out. Like none of the other actors. And that dude was talking to him, and he's like, "Yeah, man, we'll party with you."
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Dude?
So great. We were almost about to go down the grid down here in Mesa because that's where the official after party was. Mm-hmm. And we're like, nah, dude, we got to go down to Cobra. So we walked down to Cobra. By the way, they have like straight up military, like Blackwater dudes at the fucking door patting people down and checking IDs.
They do?
These are some scary ass motherfuckers.
That place has changed.
Yeah, it really has.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah, dude. There's some story about that at the end. So we go in and... You know, we see the guys there. It was Daniel Piscina, and I can't remember anyone else's name. And I feel bad about it because I think Piscina is my like uncle now. But the guy that played Shao Kahn was there.
Okay,
and
that's a big motherfucker,
dude. He's like 6'2", 6'3", and he's built like Stallone. He is just all muscle and veins.
God,
he is
damn,
a fucking monster. And he wasn't drinking; he was just hanging out.
How's his main vein?
It was cool. Oh man, huge.
Yeah. Okay.
My voice is still a little fucked up. who was Shang Tsung was there?
Okay.
Very tiny guy.
Wait, old Shang Tsung or young Shang Tsung?
Young Shang Tsung.
Okay.
From Everybody Mortal Kombat 2. Shang Tsung tonight.
Yeah. He was there. He was a cool guy. I bought Shang Tsung a Manhattan.
Yeah?
That was weirdest part of my night.
That's awesome.
So Dirk walks over to Piscina and he's like, hey man, you know, does the whole... I enjoyed playing Mortal Kombat and all this stuff. He's like, dude, I want to buy you a shot. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Let's do shots. So we're doing shots with Daniel Piscina, and we just seriously hung out with him all fucking night. Like, people would come over and ask for photos or whatever, and he would, like, hand one of us his drink. Be like, hey, man, hold my drink. Take a picture. Turn around. Grab the drink back. Start talking to us again. I'm like, this dude is cool as shit.
That's pretty cool.
And then Dirk's like, dude, I got to challenge you at Mortal Kombat. So Daniel Piscina is playing Scorpion, fighting Dirk at Mortal Kombat.
Oh, so like I saw that tweet.
He's playing himself.
So when you said he beat Scorpion,
He literally
beat Scorpion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't understand the context.
And
until
I was sitting there talking to the who was I talking to? The guy that plays Shao Kahn. I can't remember his name. I feel bad about it. But
did you give Daniel Pacino a sticker?
I'm not sure. I don't remember. But
this guy.
And then the Shang Tsung guy comes over and he's like, "Hey man, hey, come outside with me. I need you to try to get Jackson." I'm like, "Okay.
Yo, son.
And I'm like, so we go outside, and he's standing there, and this dude is like 4 feet wide.
Yeah, he's a big dude, man.
Fucking, I swear to God.
Did he have the arms?
His arms are like...
The metal arms?
No, he doesn't need them.
No, man. He found out the strength was within him all the time.
Oh.
Did you see Mortal Kombat Armageddon?
I did not.
His arm is like as big around as...
It's a very Wizard of Oz ending.
A very, like a thin girl's waist. Like, what do you think? Like, seriously, like... 10, 11 inches wide.
Seriously?
Just his arms. He's massive.
Fuck,
dude's like 52.
Fuck,
he looks
man.
Like he's in his 30s.
Wow.
Black don't crack.
Nah, man, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Unless you do crack.
And he was badass, too. And then, so people were arm wrestling him. Dude shows no mercy. No
fucking
mercy.
Just crushing
do
people.
Not arm wrestle Jax. He will fucking ruin your life.
I mean, it seems
this
like...
This was on Friday night?
This is on Saturday night.
Oh, that's why
it seems like a very bad idea anyway.
Yeah.
The fucker's arm is bigger than your head. You are not going to win.
You're not
going
to win. And
it's
he wasn't.
Not
he didn't.
Happen.
He didn't toy with you and let you like, you know, think you were going to beat him or something. He just boom, and he almost like pulled out Dirk's because Dirk has a bad shoulder and it pops out like all the time. And he almost pulled it out of the socket.
Jesus, dude.
And so we partied all night and. Dirk's going in and out, smoking, talking to people, and he goes out and he tries to get friendly with one of the bouncers and grabs
Bad
him
idea.
By the shoulder and
Bad
says
idea.
Something to him. And that dude's, take your fucking hand off of me before I put your teeth down your throat with my elbow. Straight up like that. And Dirk's just like, all right, well, I guess I'm done. And he went out and sat on a rock because he knew he was like too drunk at that point. I found him out there just sitting on a rock texting and we left and left all those dudes there. And then the next morning, we went down to the convention a little early, hung over shit, and... We walk around to where all the guest signing, you know, where they sign stuff for people and you pay $10 and you get a picture or whatever. And Daniel Pacino is just sitting there by himself and he waves us over and we go over there. He stands up. He gives us hugs and shit.
Oh, aww. Shit.
Yeah, man. He was cool as fuck, man. And he he took a picture with us, but it wasn't like a professional. Like he gave someone, it was the chick that I think she was Sindel, I think.
Okay.
But, gave his cell phone over and be like, hey, take a picture of us. Like, just like for himself. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah, it was real cool. And then...
oh, shit.
Yeah,
there's
so
more.
I went for a walk because I was absolutely fucking dying. I needed some oxygen. And he came back over to the table and brought a big stack of the prints he was signing for everyone and made personalized prints for everyone. I got one out in the living room.
That's fucking cool,
and,
man. Freddy Prince?
Yeah. Then he came back over with the film crew that was there
how
with
he got
him.
Out of the 90s.
I don't know. And he was talking to everyone. Then he came back over and he's like, hey, did you guys get enough prints? Sign something for everyone. Like, this dude is cool as shit. Daniel Pacino, you're a fucking gangster.
Nice.
Could we call him friend of the show?
Daniel yeah, Pacino? I guess. Yeah.
All
right. I was thinking about hitting him up, see if he wants to come on and talk shit.
Is he from Arizona?
Oh,
no,
man.
He's in Chicago.
Don't have him come on the show.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing.
I would ask him one really dumb question.
What?
Why did you do the Bloodstorm thing?
What the fuck is Bloodstorm?
So, I think it's like 94.
Oh, is that that movie?
No.
Oh, there was a movie they made. Like a what are those movies called? Like a parody type movie.
No. Video game.
Yeah, it was a video game. It was supposed to be, its advertisement was that it was more hardcore than Mortal Kombat.
They did two of those games that were like Mortal Kombat competitor games. And
I'm looking at the artwork right here of him.
Dressed as
Johnny Cage
at the arcade cabinet.
At the arcade cabinet, it says the fighting game for real fighters.
Damn. Yeah, that's the reason he was no longer part of the Mortal Kombat games.
Oh, because he did that.
Yeah.
I guess his brother
broke
still,
contract.
His brother still is a video game guy. He works at NetherRealm. Is that it?
NetherRealm Studios?
Yeah.
This game does not look that cool.
It's not great.
Let's be honest, the first Mortal Kombat wasn't that great.
As
either.
Someone who played that game, it's not good. Because you're thinking of that, and there was another game that came out at the same time, Time Killers.
I remember Time Killers.
Also fucking terrible.
I'm thinking of Time Clickers, which is a game that I used to play.
So I got more More stuff happened. So when we went out to SGC in
I remember Time
2014,
Killers. I used to play that in the arcade.
There was a guy there named Hal, and he had just started up doing NBA Jam tournaments, and he invited us. He's like, hey, you guys should come back to Texas. I'm going to do this big tournament. I'd love to have you there.
That's right. Like, he invited us out, but we couldn't afford to go.
Yeah, and we're like, dude, we just spent like a lot of money coming out here, and it's, you know, I don't have $1,500 more to come back to Texas.
Ryan took a loan out for that.
I did take a loan. I just paid it off like 2 months ago.
And we for us to fly out Damn, there and give away T-shirts, so we spent a lot of
$500
money.
$500
on shirts.
On shirts. Yeah.
It was a good time.
It was fun. And we got some good loyal fans.
Did not pay off.
Have been with us since the beginning. It was fun.
Hey, man. It was the experience.
We got some. We got some fans. We made some friends. And we didn't make any money.
We did not make any money. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not what we're in this for. We're in this for the experience.
Apparently.
By the way, we have affiliate links to Amazon. And
that's right. We didn't plug our stuff there. But yeah, go to casualcowards.com and click on the Amazon link. And
we'll get over that 6 cent mark pretty soon. So he was out there, and we were over there looking to sign up for a tournament, and I see this guy. I'm like, hey, you're that guy from the SGC we met a couple years ago. He's like, oh, shit, you're the guy from the Casual Cowards. So we kind of shot the shit.
You're really super, right.
I was like, no, I'm like, I can't fucking believe you remember who I am. And he's like, hey, come back tomorrow. I want you guys to officiate or, like, do the
commentary
for the Mario Kart tournament. I'm like, okay. So we did his live stream on Twitch for like 2 hours, and like, yeah. Dude, I'm hungover. I gotta go. Like, I can't. I talked for 2 hours already.
If you go to that Twitch channel, you can still watch the video.
Yeah, it's the Retro World Series. It's a little choppy. The Wi-Fi in there was dog shit.
But Dirk and Ryan commentating.
I think he said he was recording locally. He was going to move it to YouTube. His setup, by the way, is fucking nice.
Yeah.
So he started off with that like one TV doing NBA Jam tournaments at SGC. He had the whole console area that was all his. So it must have been 40 consoles and TVs set up, a humongous, like, wall-sized projector, the Twitch stream, nice mixer board, everything all set up. Like, man, he's really making strides. He had just come off of 3 conventions in a row doing this shit, so good for him. Yeah, Retro World Series, check that out. It's pretty fun.
All right.
There was a couple more people out there. So during the auction, there's a guy that etches glass with, like, video game stuff or comic book stuff. Like, you know, glasses and mirrors and all other kinds
Seriously?
Of stuff. Yeah. So Please during the auction as, like, an early birthday present, Dirk got me a Nintendo decanter set. It's out there. I'll show it to you. I should have showed it to you before the show. But the guy does fucking awesome work. Like, I don't know if you know, like, for a living, but my job is blasting parts and etching stuff in chemicals, and I have never seen lines this crisp. it looks really fucking nice.
But what do about the blast and body parts?
Motosglass.com. But yeah,
fuck yeah,
really nice stuff. They come in these nice custom wooden boxes that are all like laser etched on the side, and the little shelves that hold the 4 glasses in are actually coasters that pull out with stuff etched on the coaster.
Are you fucking...
Dude, he's really professional stuff.
You see this comic book shit, too?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does, on his website, he has, like, an awesome Hellraiser one.
I'm blowing so much fucking money with this.
What's the website?
And it's motosglass.com.
Okay.
But he'll do custom shit. He does all kinds of stuff, but it was really, really nice stuff and really awesome decanter set. I can't wait to get a decent whiskey to put in there.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. Like, you have found my birthday gift for my girlfriend already.
Yeah. It's really nice stuff. He does, like, the line. He had one.
For her to buy you.
No.
For you to buy her.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had one. I don't remember what it was. It was some kind of dragon that he was working on. And, like, these lines must have been, like, 3 millimeters. I don't even know how he got them so crisp, man. It was fucking really good stuff. And there was another guy. This one is going to be awesome because I want to do this for the Nintendo Olympics. I am not holding this upside down. This guy created a circuit board to put inside the original Nintendo controller that reverses all of the buttons, so you have to hold the controller upside down.
Why?
To fuck with people.
The fuck.
So if he had Mike Tyson's punch out set up. So right and left are still right and left, and A and B are I believe they're backwards.
So it's like a left-handed Nintendo controller.
Yeah, pretty much. And he had punch out set up, and Dirk was getting his ass rocked by fucking Glass Joe. But I want to get one of those for the Nintendo Olympics, or 2 of them. And, you know, because you play Nintendo games, and everyone's like, I'll blow through this. But do it backwards,
not if it's
motherfucker.
Upside down, motherfucker.
I think once we get good and drunk, that would be a lot of fucking fun to throw at somebody. Oh, and it would add a whole new dynamic to the Olympics. So this guy, his website was totalradness.com. Get it? Rad, N-E-S.
Hey.
Only one S. Radness. The control is called Goofy Foot. He's got a Kickstarter. It's already funded. So, but you can buy just the board if you want to do the soldering yourself, or you can buy a full controller.
Dude, that's fucking awesome.
Not bad. I think it was like $30 for the board.
That's not bad at all, actually.
Yeah. So I think it's a fun little thing that'll make the Olympics just that much more ridiculous, especially when we get good and tight.
Charles, you coming to the Nintendo Olympics this year?
I need people, man. I got four of my people moved away.
Like, yeah?
It's usually November, right?
Yeah. I can adjust. I can make adjustments. I think that was it.
Well, speaking of the Olympics.
Well, never. I have an idea.
It was awesome.
We'll talk about it off air.
The 2024 Olympics could include competitive video gaming.
No fucking way.
Yeah, they've been looking into it, man.
That's dog shit.
I mean, I guess to increase viewership with the new millennials and people who want to watch that crap.
Well, I mean, the idea is, like, generally, is that
I say crap in a nice way.
The Olympics are supposed to kind of stick closely to whatever a collegiate sport should be. Because theoretically, all the people that compete are supposed to be amateurs, even though that's not true.
Right.
And more colleges are actually taking on esports teams. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I can see that happening. But when I last read about it, like a week or two ago, I think, they were tossing it around because, like, well, how much athleticness or physical ability do you really need? And, dude, like, fucking APMs, bro. Like, there's a reason that none of these fucking pros are, like, 30 years old. Because after a while, your hand just does not work the same way.
Yeah. You need an upside-down NES controller.
I'm not okay with this. I'm not.
Well, it says in the article here that the co-president of the Olympic Bid Committee, Paris Olympic Bid Committee, confirmed that he will speak with the IOC and the esports representatives to assess the possibility. So there's like three qualifiers in that sentence there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He will speak with them to assess the possibility of including esports. So,
and even then, like, what the fuck would they even have?
Right. Like
Call of Duty, bro.
What?
League of Legends.
Because sports are timeless. Esports, there's a new game out every fucking week.
Right, it's not going to be played League of Legends in, like, 2,000 years.
Right.
And some games, they'll probably still be doing stick discus. Around, man. Like, StarCraft. That's a game that'll never go away.
StarCraft is amazing.
I mean, Dota is a thing that's been around for like a good 15 years now.
Quake.
That new Quake apparently is pretty good. Well,
I guess Quake Arena, I mean.
Eh. Ooh, you know what else happened to me?
Overwatch is huge right now, but will that be around in 4 years? Who knows? 10 years?
Nah, they'll make something. Then Destiny 2 will come out and people will just move over to that.
That's out in a couple weeks. Yeah. I'm very excited.
I went to Metallica the week before, and we were going to get a drink before it, and we walk into this bar outside the stadium, and fucking Bruce Arians, Steve Keim, and Jay Glazer were in there.
Fucking Jay Glazer. Oh.
I just thought that was pretty awesome. It was just cool.
Dude, I like how the one of us that
watched him eat.
That dislikes really people the most is the one that's basically the famous one. Like, well, yeah, I met this guy, ran into this other guy. No big deal. Also, fucking hate people. Don't populate.
Like, that's Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like me, yeah. My phone just reset.
Are you Jay Glazer? That's my life.
I am Jay Glazer.
Nah, man. Oh, you are bald. So
yeah.
You got that going for you.
Yeah.
You are significantly less Jewish, though.
Oh,
I don't know. He's got a pretty acidic beard going on.
Yeah.
Ooh, he's got the curls.
Little curls, little spit curls.
You should rock the curls, bro.
I can lend you some.
Yeah. Cut me off some of your hairs. I can glue it to my head.
I've got curls for days.
So that was my super exciting weekend, man. I'll remember that for the rest of my fucking
life. That's cool. I wish I didn't have to work on Sunday.
Yeah, working on Sunday sucks, dude.
Yeah.
I had a burrito.
It is what it is.
That was good. All right.
What, on Sunday?
Yeah.
Was it a bomb burrito?
No, I got one of those on the counter right now, defrosting. So that's what's for dinner.
Yeah, you learned nothing. I see.
A bomb burrito.
It's food, and I have it.
It is food. You're right about that.
I mean, yeah, you're not wrong, I suppose.
Well, other than the Olympics, discussing the possibility of esports, what else in the news? Anything that you guys have on your docket? Because there's a few things that I found that, to talk about.
By all means, go ahead.
Want to talk about Steve Bannon?
I'm just joking.
I found an article on metalsucks.net, by the way, about a convention taking place in Washington for a pro-Trump convention that is taking place at the same time as a Juggalo March. Juggalos are tired of being marginalized, and they want to be taken seriously.
Because the FBI calls them a loosely affiliated gang, and they don't want to be classified as a gang anymore.
Well... Nothing shows you're not a gang than gathering together.
Gathering in a large group.
And organizing and marching on something.
And all
potentially threatening
dressing
people,
the same.
Having a uniform.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Maybe a chartered membership.
Right. I just can't wait to see the herds of painted up juggalos.
Can you imagine the gathering of the Crips?
How many people?
Imagine the death toll.
How many people do you think have to be there for the Juggalo March? Quickly wash their face paint off and then be there for the other march.
Right? Or how many people do you think won't even bother? They'll just be at both.
Right? At the same time.
Just show up.
Sign in each hand. Like one for Juggalos, one for saying you will not forget the
right
people.
Because as Charles and I were discussing, it's kind of the same group of people that...
Maybe not all, but...
Not all.
A good portion.
No, I'm sure there's some good people there. I saw the videos. I love
people
the videos.
On both sides.
There's good people.
Good people on both sides.
Good people silently protesting.
Some good Nazis in the world.
Oh, fuck.
We're not talking about politics.
Let's not go down that road.
I saw Valkyrie. Tom Cruise was a good Nazi.
There you go.
I did want to throw a little surprise. Maybe you already know about this, but there's talks of a Freddy and Chucky crossover movie.
Oh, yeah? Is it going to be better or worse than Freddy versus Jason? Because that was a bad movie.
That was a really bad movie,
Nightmare.
Actually.
Good soundtrack, though.
I don't remember the soundtrack.
I mean, what would they call it? Child's Play on Elm Street? Or just Chucky versus Freddy? What do you think?
I don't know.
Would be a good title for that?
I don't know, man. It'll probably just be Chucky versus Freddy or Freddy versus Chucky.
Yeah, probably something uncreative.
Yeah.
Versus Ash.
Well, I mean,
like this idea
about it. They have another Child's Play movie coming out this year.
It comes out on DVD in October.
It's in October.
Cult of Chucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But
still going strong, according to this article.
I don't know.
I would say a straight-to-DVD release is not still going strong, but that's just me.
I mean, if you compare it to most of the other horror franchises from when we were kids, seeing as they don't make them anymore,
okay.
I guess technically that counts as going strong.
That's fair.
Yeah, because they all just get rebooted, right? Halloween.
They all get rebooted in the reboots.
Friday the 13th.
Can they please reboot Leprechaun? I guess we're going to wait till
Warwick Davis dies or
Davis
what?
Is gone.
Okay.
Or too old to be a leprechaun. Then they'll reboot it.
Okay. Okay. That could be another episode. The Leprechaun reboot.
Leprechaun reboot? Okay. We'll talk about that another time then, but yeah, I thought you might be excited to hear that.
I know
you like horror.
Freddy
films.
Vs. Jason really it did me dirty.
Yeah, man.
No,
that was
not a good movie.
I was so excited for that movie, man. Because I love horror movies. I was so pumped for that shit because I love Freddy.
Oh, God. Okay.
He's fucking garbage, man.
Here's the quote from the guy, Mancini.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. The guy who does the voice.
My idea for the movie is to do it as a horror version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. It's called Child's Play on Elm Street. Chucky ends up in the bedroom of a house on Elm Street, and Freddy meets him there, and they're like fans of each other. So they have this rapport. But then they realize Elm Street isn't big enough for the two of them. It can only contain one killer.
Oh, God.
Do you think Jason will come in at the end and kill them both?
So, for one, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, not your best example to start
with. I love that movie. Classic. Michael Caine and Steve Martin.
See, the problem is I don't like Steve Martin.
Classic team up. How do you not like Steve Martin?
He doesn't like white people. Don't you watch the news?
There's a part where
he's
all
left.
Funny?
I mean, even his hair is white, so I can understand.
Yeah.
It's the whitest of the whites.
Hey, do you think they'll get the Dinkle to play the new Leprechaun?
No, that's beneath him, bro.
Does that have anything?
Think
he's
so?
Too big. Is he too big now?
He could bring a Shakespearean air.
But he did
to
that.
That role?
What was that? What was that movie? That with the
I'm the leprechaun.
The fighting people. What do you call those people?
The fighting people.
No, you mm-hmm. know the guys that fake fight and they wear armor. Those nerds.
Yeah, the LARPing movie.
LARPers. Yeah, what the hell was that?
That was a movie that was on the shelf for a while.
Oh, that's right.
Did he do that before he was big, though?
He did that before Game
of
Thrones.
Before he was big.
They did that. They shot that before Game of Thrones took off, and then they released it
before
afterwards.
Before he got big. Okay.
But you're talking of Knights of Badassdom.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
I liked that movie. God, you hate everything.
No, I don't hate everything.
I never watched it because it looked terrible.
It was fun.
Was it good?
Okay. It was fun. It's not bad. It wasn't good. It was just fun. What else you got there?
Billy Idol was the original T-1000 in Terminator 2.
Is he creepy enough?
He actually, it was all set to go, but he got in a motorcycle accident.
That, thankfully, it's good that he didn't die.
I'm glad Billy Idol's still with us.
The movie came out better.
You think so?
Yeah. Billy Idol's a cool dude and all, but nah, it wouldn't have worked.
I don't know if he can play that wooden, emotionless kind of thing that Robert Patrick had.
Yeah.
I mean, he was...
That was definitely a right guy, right place, right time.
What's his name?
Man. Robert Patrick.
Robert Patrick, okay. So his quote here was, so he said, Billy Idol was set to do the role of the T-1000, as I understand. I can tell you that I saw Billy's image when I went in to Stan Winston after I got the role. Unfortunately, he got in a motorcycle accident, busted his leg, so he wasn't able to physically do what the role demanded. My agent sold me to the T2 casting director as a cross between David Bowie and James Dean. So I was trying to create an intense present while I was sitting with Molly. I had this intense stare, which she liked. Can you imagine? He's just staring at her with that look.
No, I can kind of see that's what he was going for.
He bring a little tape recorder so I can play that.
David Bowie and James Dean was...
I could see that. I can kind of get the vibe he was going for.
T-1000. Huh. It's interesting to hear it put in those terms.
Yeah. Robert Patrick, a pretty good character actor, man.
Yeah.
He's usually the best part of a really shitty movie.
You know what I really like is when he plays Ray Liotta.
Where did he? Oh,
no, they look the same guy.
He's like dime store Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
Oh man. So kind of as a throwback to our previous movie idea, he's in a movie with John Cena. It's called The Marine. It's a very bad movie. Bad movie. But Robert Patrick is in it, and he's the only person that's aware that it's a bad movie. And he just fucking has fun with it, dude.
Nice.
It's fucking great. That movie is so garbage.
I love it.
Speaking of movies,
yeah.
You want to pitch?
Let's get into it.
You want to pitch us an idea here?
All right. So I'm going to need a little help with this one here.
Do I need to take a breath before this? Am I going to be shocked and awed?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
So I've got the title already thought up. It's a pretty simple title. It's called Stockholm.
Okay.
So the concept that I have thought up in my mind is it's going to be an international terrorism thriller, right? So I would say the first portion of the movie focuses on, I don't know, some distressed CIA agent somewhere in a headquarters somewhere. It's like, man, these fuckers, they keep hitting us before we can even see them coming. It's like the fifth time in the last 6 months that, one of our operatives has been taken down or, whatever. It makes it seem like it's a dire situation. And there's this guy that, insert random, terrorist organization.
Cobra?
Yeah, we'll call it Cobra, whatever. Not the Cobra Commander, though. But whatever you want to call it, there's this new operative that they have. They say he's like a fucking ghost. Gets in, gets out, smirks everybody. No one can stop him, right?
No scopes?
Fucking 360 no
Holy
scopes, bro.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Fucking 360 on that shit. So I'd say that's a good 10, maybe 15 minutes. So then after that, we actually get to meet this guy. And you can tell he's a little different than all of his other guys that he works with. And this part is probably going to be a little racist. It's going to be your stereotypical Middle Eastern guys, probably somebody that somebody could construe to be Muslim, even though Muslim isn't a race.
Ben Kingsley?
Nah. No, these are all just stand-ins. They're relatively unimportant people.
Okay.
But the guy that they keep talking about, he kind of sets himself aside from everybody. You can tell he's kind of with them, but not 100% with them. And we just kind of leave it there, right? So at the same time, there are these cutaways to this family over in the States. And it should be like a dad who just seems like super patriotic, but really depressed, maybe has a drinking problem or something like that. You know, a wife who just feels like she's ready to divorce this guy over, you know, this trauma that they have in their past. And they find out that their son, as far as they know, died on a trip abroad. All right, hold on. So,
did you write the whole movie already? That's what we're here for.
I got I'm getting excited about this.
The general frame of it.
Okay.
But they're just super depressed. Their life is falling apart. And he's obsessed with the fact that they never found a body. So he thinks his son is still alive. So fast forward, the twist at the end of the movie is that he's been contacted by the CIA lady from the beginning of the movie. She's like, well, all right, we have reason to believe that your son's still alive. Oh, really? Okay, cool. So I'm going to fly out. I'll meet you wherever you're going to go. For the twist of the movie, they specifically never say where they're going. So cut to this, you know, the terrorist operative guy. He's sent out on another mission. So he's got a, you know, really important thing that he's got to drive home the point for the cause. All right, cool. I'm going to go. So where am I going? And this is going to be the last part, like the last shot of the movie. So they show the father showing up, and separately this other guy shows up. And it's the first time we get to see this guy's face. And it's actually an American kid. And it's the kid that he's thought has been dead the entire time. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you know how they usually do like the huge title card to show what city they're in? Stockholm. End of the movie.
Huh.
So it sets up for a sequel.
Ends?
Yeah, that's the end of the movie. It sets up for a sequel.
You don't see if he kills his dad or...
That's what the second movie's for.
What's the name of the sequel?
I don't know.
Stockholm Syndrome?
That's the point of the
movie. You got to get that in there.
It's being called Stockholm. It's about the city at the end of the movie and the syndrome.
Whoa. So, hold on. So, the CIA guy is not the father.
No, he is not the father.
That could be fun. Ooh. If he's been hunting his son the whole time.
What if it's called Stockholm 2 Syndromes of the Father? Yeah?
What if you make...
We'll work it. We'll
instead
work
of
it.
White House Down, you make Stockholm Down. And then the next one you call... And then the third one could be Stockholm Down Syndrome.
There you go.
Oh, Jesus.
I was looking for a way to work Down Syndrome into the conversation. You beat me to it again.
I'm sorry.
Steve, but stealing all my good
I actually had a pretty decent amount of this movie fleshed out, but I just don't know who's going to be in it.
Okay. So I was a little distracted because I was Googling Middle Eastern actors.
Okay.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
All right, so I think we need to cast
the
five.
Prince of Persia. Come on,
god damn it!
Which wasn't Ben Kingsley also in that?
Yes, he was. So I think we need five roles that we need. Well, no, six that
we'll
need to cast.
Just whitewash the whole thing.
So we need the kid.
Okay. Uh-huh.
We need his father, his mother, the CIA agent lady or guy, if we decide to go the other route. And then whoever is the head of the terrorist group that he's in.
So,
that's five. Real note, I do like Asif Manvi.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
Who's that?
Asif Manvi. He was a correspondent on The Daily Show. Him, this guy.
He's showing Ryan a picture of Asif.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, are you thinking he would be the leader of the terrorists, though?
He could be.
Okay. We will rain fire on one American city.
Jesus Christ.
Crimson Jihad, bro.
Okay. I could see that. Like, it kind of goes against the stereotype of the leader always being like an older dude that looks like Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. All right.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff. He was in The Last Airbender, which is an American classic. From Shyamalan. The twist was it was a god-awful movie.
You came here expecting something good.
Surprise.
This does sound a lot like a fucking M. Night Shyamalan twist movie. The twist.
Yeah, I mean, I think the twist at the end that this guy that they've been looking for this entire time is actually like this kid, you know, this poor guy's son who has been kind of twisted against his own morals.
Yeah.
Like that's going to be like the gut punch at the end of the movie.
The kid has Stockholm Syndrome.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because he was captured by this terrorist cell that turned him into this terrorist assassin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
So, like, the kid, like, it has to be somebody relatively young, I think.
How young?
I'm thinking
under
like
30 or like 20.
Like mid 20s, maybe early 30s. So we can't do any older actors.
I can't pronounce his name. I'm really bad at it. Milo Ventimiglia, like whatever.
Milo Ventimiglia?
Yeah, this dude.
Okay. All right.
Peter Petrelli.
That could work.
Okay.
And I like Peter Petrelli for that one.
And it's got to be somebody that you could think is like, yeah, that's like an all-American guy. Like, he was a quarterback for his fucking football team.
Okay, so the dad obviously would be Sylvester Stallone.
John Cena music pulled up.
I don't, because I listened to our last episode, and it was so fucking loud.
It has to.
I had to get my earbuds out of my ears.
Have you ever, like, when people put that in videos or something, when they do that?
It went on for a while.
It always makes the speaker crack because it's so fucking
it's
loud.
It's so loud, dude.
Ooh. It made my eardrums crack.
I've got an idea for the kid.
Okay.
Ryan Gosling.
You and your Gosling.
Once per show, bro.
Okay, yeah, I like it. we always entertain the idea too.
But no, I like the Milo guy.
Welcome to the Ryan Gosling show.
Milo Ventimiglia. That's how I like to pronounce it.
Yeah, I think that could work.
I pronounce it like Peter Petrelli because I don't want to say that V name.
Peter Petrelli.
He looks relatively young because like. I think it's harder to pull off with an older guy because, like, for suspension of disbelief, it's harder to believe that somebody in, like, their mid-30s, maybe early 40s, would get brainwashed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of harder to believe.
It's harder to turn someone.
Can't teach an old dog.
Oh, no. I got to get... what the fuck is that guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. Cool. He was in Third Rock from the Sun. He was the kid.
Oh,
he's got three names.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, Neil Patrick Harris.
Obviously.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Obviously. I can't think of his name, and he was in Looper.
Let me just Google Looper here.
Neil Armstrong. That's only two.
I don't think he's with us anymore, man.
Joseph
Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah.
Something with a J.
Like, I think that would kind of be a good choice, too. Like, he's a little on the high end of our age range, I think.
But he could also be.
He could
do intense too. So
yeah.
What about the kid who is in Kingsman? He's the new Han Solo.
Taron Egerton.
Yeah.
No, they're two different dudes.
I'm saying what about him?
Well, no, I was saying those are two different actors though.
Oh, I thought the kid from the Kingsman was the new Han Solo.
No.
Oh.
So the dude in the Kingsman, that's Taron Egerton.
Okay.
I don't think it would work because he's British. I think for the subject matter, if you put anybody who isn't American in that role, mm-hmm. the movie gets just ripped to shreds immediately.
Like Black Hawk Down, the entire cast was British.
Yeah.
Or like all of the recent Batman movies.
Yeah.
The entire cast is British.
Superman, the new Superman is British.
Everyone's British. Fucking everyone.
But
Except for Wonder Woman. She's Israeli.
The dude who's playing...
Well, the new Batman is
the dude who's playing Han Solo has one of the most unfortunate names.
What is it?
Alden Ehrenreich.
God,
yeah.
Is he British? Because that's a British ass name.
No, that's a fucking German ass name, son.
Reich.
I mean, Reich is in it.
Ehrenreich. Yeah.
Ew.
Bad timing, buddy.
What does Aaron translate into? Third.
Fuck. No, hold on.
No, actually, we'd be on the fourth Reich, wouldn't we?
He would be the fourth, wouldn't he? Yeah.
What is that? Something that asked me. So who are we lining up for the kid?
Are we going Milo?
Milo or Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
I need something to put on the poster. So you got to make a decision.
I think it's probably easier for you to find pictures
of
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Well, let's figure out who the dad is, and we'll decide which one looks more like him.
Okay.
So who's the dad? What kind of person is this guy? Who can we typecast?
I mean, it's got to be some right. It's got to be somebody pretty intense
because we're gaming for the low hanging fruit here.
He's got to be pretty intense.
Common.
If we're thinking about the fact that there may be a sequel,
Ryan Gosling.
He's got to be. Well, yeah, obviously. Write it down. Let's do it. You would have to assume that this guy could at least at some point be bought shooting people.
So he'd have to be in his 50s.
Yeah, 50s, maybe early 60s. He's got to be somebody that you could buy, like, because in my idea, in the second movie, like, at some point, he says, fuck it, I'm going to go shoot some of these assholes.
Like Bruce Willis. But you can't, if it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt, you can't put Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt in a movie again.
Yeah.
And you can't put Gordon, you can't put, what's his face you just said? Commissioner Gordon.
No, Gary Oldman.
Because he was just in the Batman movie with the
He was also the bad guy in the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Was he?
Yeah.
He's a good bad guy, too.
He's good at everything.
Yeah, dude. He's got another movie coming out where he plays Winston Churchill soon. He's going to be fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually pretty funny.
So, let's say aging actor.
Yeah.
But not old.
Not old, per se. Yeah.
Brad Pitt?
That's actually not a bad idea.
Okay.
He does like, sad, depressed, and mournful pretty good.
What's in the box?
I would even say maybe even a Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
He was just in Argo, though. Can you throw him back in the middle of the season?
Speaking of
soon?
The new Batman.
Different vibe, though. Yeah.
Okay. You think Ben Affleck?
Ben Affleck?
Yeah, actually.
Okay.
Like, that motherfucker, in like every other movie he's in, he plays some dude who's depressed and has woman problems. And that's a significant portion of his role in the movie. So I think that would work.
Okay, Ben Affleck as the father.
Ben Affleck. Yeah.
So which of those two actors do you think would be better?
I think it would probably be the Milo kid.
Milo?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I like it.
Wait, was that Milo kid in the new Rocky movie?
Yes.
Didn't he play Rocky's son?
He played Sylvester Stallone's kid. He talks out the side of his mouth just like Stallone.
He does.
Yeah, well, in that movie, yeah.
Also, in Heroes,
he always talks outside of his mouth.
He does.
Never watched Heroes.
Real hard. He looks like fucking Two-Face. The first few seasons were okay.
I knew ahead of time it was going to be bad.
It wasn't bad. Just during the writer's strike. And then they tried to fix it, but it was way too fucking late.
It was too late. Yeah.
All right, so who else do we got?
We got to cast his wife.
The agent? Oh, his wife. His wife.
His wife.
Is she too hot for him?
My wife.
Is she normal?
This is Hollywood, right?
This is Hollywood. Like,
is it always going to be
like,
Diane Lane?
Make no mistake. This is one of those movies that would just straight up be award season bait. So it's got to be some woman who normally is just absolutely fucking gorgeous and they can do the she's so brave thing because she just decided to not wear makeup and cry a bunch.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, man. Fuck.
What do you mean my son's still alive? Like, okay, Whoopi, take it easy.
Whoa.
We gotta sell the white kid as the interracial child of...
Oh, well, in that case...
Ben Affleck and Whoopi Goldberg?
Hold on, if Whoopi Goldberg's in it, fuck that. Ted Danson.
Ted Danson.
Okay, there we go.
I feel bad for Ted Danson. Whoopi Goldberg is not a fucking handsome woman. She's a handsome dude. But
Whoopi Goldberg hasn't had eyebrows ever.
She's a weird-looking lady, and, man,
yo, so
Ted
while
Danson
we're on
beat
the subject
up.
Of Whoopi Goldberg, what exactly did her character do on Star Trek?
Well, she was on Star Trek?
Yeah, The Next Generation. She was in, like, the first few seasons as Gaia, I think her name was?
I didn't watch Star Trek. I'm a Star Wars guy. I can't watch both of them.
You fucking can.
No, you can't.
I do both.
Ugh. You're disgusting.
I'm looking it up. Star Trek... Whoopi Goldberg, she had that
fucking head wrap, dude.
She had the head wrap that was like a serving tray on top.
Yeah, she had like the Next Generation Erica Badu.
I know what you're talking about.
You remember? She had the serving tray for a hat. I don't know.
I remember plenty of scenes with her in it.
Gwynnen?
At the bar.
Was her name Gwynnen?
Oh, yeah. I totally fucked her name up. Guinan or something like
Guinan.
That? I totally fucked her name up.
Okay. Oh, but she was in this generation, Star Trek Generations.
Like, she showed up plenty of times to be, like, the sassy old black lady and be like, you know what you gotta do, right? But I don't know what her actual job was.
Her position, according to StarTrek.com.
Okay.
Her position was civilian lounge hostess. So she worked in the bar.
So you didn't even serve drinks? You found motherfuckers' tables?
She... Why are you wearing a serving tray for a hat if you're not even serving drinks?
All right, let's get back on track.
Yeah, so
you
anyway,
the wife.
The wife.
I got her.
Okay.
Who is it?
It's Margaret Collin.
I have no clue who that is.
Jeff Goldblum's ex-wife from Independence Day.
I'm looking her up right now.
Yeah, I'm going to need a picture of that one.
You don't remember Independence Day? Come on, dog.
I don't remember his ex-wife in Independence Day.
This chick.
She was in Pretty in Pink.
Oh, okay. Okay, that could work.
Because she's probably about that age, 55 or so.
That could work.
And she was, you know, she was a good-looking lady in her day, but, you know, she's aging now, but I'd probably still hit it, let's be honest.
Yeah. You've probably done worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I can see her with Ben Affleck.
Or Diane Lane.
Fathering Milo. No,
so, yeah, like, I feel like if you're filling that role, you really have two choices.
I think his name's Milo, by the way.
I like Milo. Your two choices are usually Diane Lane or Amy Adams.
Is Amy Adams old enough?
Yeah, she's like 40-something, dude.
There was someone else that just popped in my fucking
head,
too.
What about the wife from 40-something? No, this is 40.
Oh, Leslie Mann?
Yeah.
I don't fucking like her.
Really?
Nah.
All right.
can't get with it, man. Sorry.
She's out?
Let's get out of here.
Who was the other one you just said?
Who, me?
Amy Adams.
Oh.
Like, she usually does the whole, wow, you're so brave.
Yeah, thing. See, I don't like her as Lois Lane.
Yeah, so, she's a pretty shitty Lois Lane.
Yeah,
she's a great actress. She's actually usually pretty good in almost everything she's in.
Yeah, we could put her with Ben Affleck as the parents of Milo.
Okay.
So Amy Adams is the mom.
I think Ann Archer's too old.
I have to look up all these names. I don't know anyone's names.
She was the wife from Clear and Present Danger.
Oh, fuck. That's a throwback, son.
Yeah.
Oh, she's the mom from Always Sunny.
Oh, yeah, she is. Totally.
Yeah, she's a little too old for Ben Affleck, unless he's into that.
You never know, man.
You never know.
All right, so we got...
She does look more like Milo than Ann Adams. Who? Amy Adams.
All right, so but, you gotta pick one.
Amy Adams, I think.
You're going to stick with Amy Adams?
I think so, yeah.
I like Amy Adams. We'll go with Amy Adams.
All right, and then the last role that I can think of that we need to come up with is the CIA agent.
Okay, is the CIA agent... Gender, do we have a gender picked out?
I mean,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't really matter. Like, as I thought of it.
Idris Elba.
All right, cool.
Let's throw some ethnicity in there.
Shut it down.
Okay.
You
kind of hit it right out of the park on the first one, buddy.
Very whitewashed here.
Boom.
I mean, it's Idris Elba, dog.
Right? I fucking love that guy.
I know, man. I fucking love that dude in everything.
So is he
going to
be a British CIA agent?
No, he does an American accent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it passable?
Did you?
Yeah, dude, like, have you ever seen
The Wire?
Come on. I've never seen The Wire. Like, legit, people didn't know he was British for like a good 5 or 6 years.
When he was, what the movie with the giant robots?
Pacific Rim.
When he was on that, I came on this show.
I remember that.
And I said, that guy has the worst fake British accent I've ever heard.
And I told you he was actually British.
And Charles is like, no, he's British. And I'm like, no, he's not. Shut up. He's on The Wire. He's American.
I've never watched The Wire. So.
The apocalypse is canceled. Yeah, you're right. Like, I think he's been here in the States long enough that his accent has kind of changed a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's weird, man.
It sounds like he's forcing it when he does Luther and Pacific Rim.
It's a really weird
accent.
That's all I know him from.
Well, I originally knew him from Luther, so yeah. I didn't know that he did American
stuff. And he was on The Office.
He was on The Office. He's on the UK and the US version of The Office, right?
I don't know. The UK? I've never seen the UK.
He's on the American one.
He's in the UK one, too.
The UK version is very different.
And
I did not get into it.
It's very dry humor.
Yeah.
Oh, God,
different type of humor.
Ricky Gervais, he has a very specific type of humor.
Yeah. He's funny.
Yeah, he's funny in small doses. Like, I can't watch an entire show of it.
I enjoyed The Invention of Lying.
How is Amy Adams old enough to play?
She's like 45, bro.
Is she really? She still looks like she's 30.
Yeah.
How old is Milo?
That woman's well preserved.
Venomiglia.
42.
Milo. Venomiglia.
Amy Adams right here, right now, from our lady.
He's
got to
be in his 30s. He's probably like 38.
I think he's too old.
Yeah?
Yeah,
I think he might be too old.
He's 40.
He's 40?
Yeah.
1977.
Yeah.
He does not look 40 at all, man.
He probably does sit-ups or something.
He's too old.
Okay, so we got to rethink this.
Too old.
All right, so if he's too old.
You got to get down to
the only thing I think of.
We're looking for like 20-year-old actors.
Yeah.
Taylor Lautner?
Yeah.
That's literally the only young actor I know.
One of the Jonas Brothers.
I like.
See, I can't even get names of bands right.
I think Taylor Lautner is too, like, I don't like his build. He's too big. I don't like.
Also, he's fucking terrible. Did you ever watch the movie Abduction?
No. Did you ever watch the
Ridiculous Six?
Fuck
he's,
no.
He's really good at playing a retard.
Fuck no. I will never watch it. That.
Knocked out of the park.
He's so, a character. He's a method actor.
We'll do a movie swap. I'll watch the Ridiculous Six. You watch Abduction.
Don't watch the Ridiculous Six.
Okay, good.
Go ahead and watch it. And I won't. Okay.
But you should watch Abduction.
But I don't want to watch. Okay.
It's a bad movie. It's a really bad movie.
So now we got to change our. Now we got to change our main bad guy.
I mean, we don't see him until the very end of the movie anyway, right?
Yeah. So does it even really need to be a big name?
It doesn't need to be a big name, no. I mean, it just has to be somebody that you could just easily say, wow, that's like an American-ass American.
But he is going to have to play a bigger role later on.
Yes.
And what about that kid that plays in Star Wars?
What about Josh Hutcherson?
I don't know who that is, but I like it.
Okay.
He actually...
Okay, that's a good choice, actually.
I could see him as Ben Affleck's kid.
Yeah, that's a good choice. He's actually not a bad actor either.
Yeah. No, he's good. What was he in? The Bridge to Terabithia?
Yeah, in the Hunger Games movies. He's actually pretty good in those.
I didn't see any of them, but...
Not even trying to be funny. I would say you should watch those. They're good movies.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And he's 18 years younger than Amy Adams. That works.
I did, actually. I started to watch Naked, the Netflix original, with one of the Wayans kids.
Okay, yeah.
I shut it off after 2 minutes.
Which Wayans did it have in it?
Not the one from The New Girl, but the other. I don't know names. Come on. Don't ask me for names.
Well, no, the one in New Girl is like a third generation Wayans.
Right. His brother.
No.
He's in White Girls.
Oh, so no, those are the second generation.
Oh, he's a second generation?
Yeah. There are multiple generations of Wayans.
They all look like they're the same age. All
right, so hold on.
Because black don't crack.
So the first generation you had Damon. Keenan Ivory.
Right.
And Kim.
No, I grew up watching In Living Color.
So second generation.
Are you saying you left Jim Carrey out of the...
Second generation is Sean and Marlon. So that's one of the ones that was in there.
Okay.
In the movie you were watching.
Yeah.
And third generation is Damon Jr.
The clone of Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
Okay, it was Marlon. Marlon Wayans is in Naked. I shut it off after 2 minutes.
Damn, son.
Is that bad?
It starts out, he's a substitute teacher in this rich white kid's school, and he is just dropping so many stereotypical one-liners. I was like, this is the borderline offensive and not funny at all. The rest of the movie is going to be the same trash.
Over, under.
I'm gonna watch it.
As far as how bad it was, that time you, me, and Rachel tried to watch Santa Clara Diet.
Oh, God.
Was that bad?
It was really bad.
Oh, I wanted to watch that.
Awful.
Chester crashed at my house at the beginning of the year, and we were watching Netflix, and we were like, fuck.
Kiboshed it almost immediately.
Yeah,
we were like, nope, we can't watch any more of this.
All right, so we got your...
Now, he tells a high schooler that he's going to be a virgin till he's 35.
Damn,
son. In the opening scene of this movie.
Damn.
It happens.
I was just like, oh, this is okay.
Not good.
Oh, I squeaked.
But there was other jokes about him, like, being, you know, oh, it's so much harder being from the streets. You rich white kids don't know anything. But it was just delivered badly and just...
On that same subject.
Because
we are getting super tangential at this
point. Yes, we are. Tangents.
There's this show coming on ABC, I think, this season. It has some random black dude. I don't know who he is. And the brunette chick from Glee.
The chick with the big nose?
Yeah.
I don't know her fucking
name.
Dude.
Like,
I'm going to Google brunette chick from Glee.
Leah Michele. That's her name. Thought about it. I've had to watch way too many episodes of Glee.
Random black guy.
The premise of the show is that a rapper decides to run for mayor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Dude.
It's a TV show.
Yeah, it's a TV show.
I've seen
those
ads.
I've seen the trailer, and goddamn, I was like, yo, fucking white people, man.
Right, it's written by white people for white people, starring black people.
Right,
and it's so obvious.
Yeah, it's like, hey guys,
that's what this Naked movie seemed like.
Oh, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Hey, do some funny black guy stuff. We're gonna be over here sipping martinis.
Right? Right, we're like, hey, if you do that, then people will know that you're not gonna kill them when you're in their neighborhood.
Like, well,
you know, Ice-T lives right down the street, and I've never felt safer. Okay.
Well, yeah. I mean, the only time you should be worried is if you're a cop, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
He cares now. Have you seen that Rick and Morty episode with Ice-T?
I care now.
No. Oh, you got to watch that. At least that one episode with Ice-T. It's not him actually voicing his own character.
They did a really good job.
It's pretty damn funny.
Okay, so we got your characters.
Turns out Ice-T is from another planet. Anyways, tangent.
So we're going with Josh Hutcherson?
Josh Hutcherson.
For the son, which we don't see till the end, so he doesn't really matter. He's just
he doesn't need to be on
role.
The poster because we don't want to reveal
him. Yeah, you don't want to spoil it.
Affleck is the dad. The poster is obviously just going to be Affleck and Idris Elba. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Those are your big...
Maybe throw Amy...
In the background?
Yeah, just...
Looking sad?
Yeah, just looking all depressed or angry or whatever.
Right, or maybe holding a teddy bear or something from her kid's childhood.
And a Daily Show guy, I can't remember his name.
Asif Manvi.
Yeah, I'm not writing that down.
Wearing a turban.
I feel like if I write that in ink, I summon a demon.
I would say the only thing that the only person that I'd be willing to accept as the villain, other than Asif Manvi, if you want to avoid the whole, hey, that's kind of racist thing. Mm-hmm. So, what was the name of the fucking guy who played Tony Almeida on 24?
Got me.
You know what I'm talking about.
Googling
right?
It now, no idea who that is.
Did neither of you watch 24?
I watched the made-for-TV movie once.
Yeah, no, I didn't watch it. Seemed like a big commitment. Carlos Bernard.
That dude plays like intense possible terrorists pretty well.
Okay.
But does he have to be Middle Eastern? I mean,
yeah,
is
that's
where
what
it's
going
to take place?
Well, no. That's
We're
what
talking
like,
about terrorists, right?
Jesus.
What if it was American terrorists, though? Like, you know, domestic
homegrown. Well, because he dies abroad.
What if instead of CIA, it's FBI? Or he dies abroad? What if he dies just like on a spring break outing or something instead?
I don't know, man.
What if we...
I don't know.
I think it has to be abroad because then you introduce that barrier of, hey, you know he died, but we couldn't find the body. Because
it was outside our country and we couldn't go searching necessarily. Because he was trying to do like relief work or something. He was a bleeding heart liberal kid.
Yeah, that I think that's a better angle.
Kind of overprivileged kid who wanted to go help the underprivileged.
Or maybe they're Jewish. And he was in Israel. No.
Now we got to recast Ben Affleck. No one will believe him as a Jew.
Right.
Well, maybe.
He's from Boston. He fucking hates those guys.
Maybe. Well, I was thinking they go, because when the kids go to that wall or whatever when they're kids, right? When they're like 13 or whatever. They go
I know
to
what
that.
You're talking about.
And
you mean the border wall?
Yeah. So maybe he gets taken then. You know, they're going on sightseeing and they're leaving the city, which is not safe in Israel from what I understand. And he gets taken there. I don't know. Just a thought. Just a thought.
I think it can take place in Israel, but I don't think they have to be Jewish. Because Israel's still a hot spot for conflict anyway.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah.
Not just Judaism, but there's Christian religious sites, there's Muslim religious sites. Like,
I think the Israel idea is good, though.
Israel's
like, have
good.
That be the place where he really gets abducted originally.
Where else in that kind of region like would a 12-year-old kid ever need to go to?
That's a good point.
There is a lot.
Is he 12? Oh, because he's been missing.
He's been missing for a while. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would he be there by himself?
No, he'd have to be with like a group, like a church group or something.
Yeah, okay. I'm thinking like it's like a church or a school thing,
and they're on like a bus,
and he just happens to be
so
the one kid.
Very overprivileged school outing.
Yeah.
Where they take them to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could work.
Okay.
God damn, we actually got a decent amount of this movie just fucking put together, man.
Yeah.
That's what
like
we
this.
Do.
I like this.
Okay. So then then the kid goes missing. Does the whole class go missing or just the one kid?
I think for suspense's sake and to kind of drive home the fact that he's so obsessed with it, he's the only kid.
The only kid that goes missing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe there has to be at least one kid or maybe even an adult that has to say something an adult, like the driver or the teacher, whoever took him. They took them all. They killed them all, or whatever. Like, so you kind of think, well, this dude's son is dead. Someone has to survive let Ben Affleck know that his son is dead.
They took the whole group, but because he is the son of a CIA agent, he had certain types of training that made him valuable to.
But
keep
he's not
alive.
The son of the agent.
Yeah, he's
is
not
he?
The son. No, he's just a regular kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason, I thought the Ben Affleck's character was also part of the CIA.
No.
He's just a regular rich kid.
Yeah, he's just a regular guy, and that's why his wife is so angry with him.
Okay. I was imagining, and we could still do this, flashbacks of the father remembering taking his kid hunting, like when they were just bonding.
Okay.
And teaching the kid how to shoot a gun and stuff like that.
Oh, no, that's effective. I like that.
Yeah.
So maybe
here's another idea then. Mm-hmm. Let's say we stick with that. The whole reason Idris Elba's character is willing to even continue looking into this, he's good friends.
Because they used to be partners.
Yeah, they could be partners or something like that.
And then he got too old for this shit.
Maybe he went hunting with them.
Yeah.
And was there helping teach the kid how to shoot a gun and hunt. And
that's actually really effective.
He remembers the kid growing up as well.
And like you could drop hints through the movie. Where, like, as he's on these missions, he's using some of the lessons that were in some of these hunting lessons mm-hmm. that they had. And you can be like, all right, well, I'm pretty sure I just saw that earlier in this movie. All right.
Yeah.
Huh. Ooh,
that's a nice little layer there. I like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. Exposition.
Because that way, when Idris Elba shows up with Ben Affleck and they go to find the kid, at the very end, when they see him, both of them are just like,
what the fuck?
In shock and awe.
Mm-hmm. Well, the way I see it, like, only the audience is aware that all three of them are in the same place.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know yet. The kid doesn't know that his family's there. Like, part of his brainwashing is that he thinks that his family has abandoned him, obviously. That's usually how Stockholm Syndrome works.
Mm-hmm.
And then on their end with Ben Affleck and Idris Elba, like, they're just there because they have a lead thinking that maybe he's alive.
Mm-hmm.
They don't 100% know that he's there yet.
So does the movie cut out before he even, like, gets out of the car or comes out of wherever he's at? They don't see him?
There's a blurry photo of what looks like the kid. In Stockholm.
So like one of those street camera photos or something? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, like...
Just a closed circuit.
Like in my head, like the way the ending sets up, like you know how in almost every spy movie...
That's how Idris Elba finds him. He's looking for this terrorist assassin guy, and while he's reviewing camera footage, he happens to see a guy that looks like dude's son.
Okay.
And then he goes back and he's like, we found your son. But he doesn't know that that's the same fucking dude he's looking for.
Okay, yeah, that'll work. And like the way that I want the movie to end is like every time they go to a new location, like there's this huge cut to like black screen, giant white text that says whatever city they're in.
Right.
And so, you never see the title of the movie until the end.
Right.
So.
Well, so Ben Affleck, obviously very wealthy because that's how the kid went to a good school. They mm-hmm. traveled. He's vacationing because he's like so stressed out. You know, his wife's like, we need, like, let's get away. Let's go to Switzerland or Sweden, you know, like, let's go to Europe. Let's just get away. So he happens to be in the area when Idris Elba hits him up and is like, hey.
Oh, I think I see where you're going with this.
I'm here and we're looking for this guy. I can't tell you anything more because it's classified, but I think I may have seen your son in a photo. So it's a quick trip for him to get there.
Okay.
And so they're both in the same city at the same time.
Okay. I've got an extra layer on that.
Okay.
So we go with your idea. Mm-hmm. They go on vacation. They just so happen to go to Stockholm, right?
Okay.
So
does he own a house there? I guess that's a decent.
It's like hotels, whatever.
Okay.
So they're having fun. This is like the best time that the two have had together in years since they're able to just forget about this tragedy in their past. He gets a call from Idris Elba, and it's a voiceover of the two of them talking, right? Like, yeah, you know, I think we actually might have had a lead on something we were talking about. And while they're doing it, it shows this car, like obviously like a black BMW or something like that, driving through the city. And as they're going through their conversation, at the end, they're like, all right, well, we think we found your son. Oh, shit, all right, well, where is he? That's when dude gets out of the car. We see the actual shot of his face, and then he goes, well, where is he? Boom, Stockholm.
All right.
Okay. I like this.
That's good.
I like this.
I want to watch this movie.
Yeah,
this actually sounds like a pretty good movie.
It sounds fucking intense.
I want to see the sequel, too. What happens in the sequel? Do we need to revisit that in a later episode?
You have to come back to that. I haven't thought it up, but I actually kind of like this movie we came up with, guys.
Yeah.
I would go see this.
I would totally go see this.
Me, too. But, like, okay, so we know how it ends.
Yeah.
We know how it starts. But what happens in the middle? Like, this is at least a 90-minute movie,
there's
got to
be some assassinations, maybe some light bombing.
Assassinations, but how does the dad play into the terrorist acts that are happening.
I don't think he does.
Yes, yeah.
I think like his whole dynamic is with his wife, right?
Exactly.
And their marriage falling apart.
What kind of reinforces the twist is that these two storylines, for the most part, just feel completely and utterly unconnected. Because like the part with Ben Affleck,
but
is just
Idris,
miserable.
No, Idris ties them together because there's a third storyline where he is doing both.
Right.
He is remembering the kid growing up. He's also searching for this terrorist. And you think they're completely unrelated.
Yeah.
Because he's talking to his best friend every once in a while, like, you know, hey, I've got some leads. I'm looking into this.
It should be emails. So that way they never actually have a conversation on the phone.
Okay.
So that way it makes it harder to draw the connection between the two.
Yeah. And that way, yeah. So you think he's just chasing the Daily Show guy?
Yeah, like
the whole time.
Yeah,
are we going with Ossoff?
You think his main goal, which obviously it is, it's part of his job, is, you know, tracking down this terrorism ring. And these emails he's sending, like, they're very vague. Like, hey, you know, I'm still looking for him. You know, I might have a lead. I don't know. And then at the end, we find out, oh shit, these emails have been about this fucking kid the entire time. So yeah, I think I like that.
Yeah,
too.
You saved the phone call for the very last.
Yeah,
I saw your son.
That should be like the just knife twist at the end.
Bam.
And in
that's
between,
when you realize, boom, they're all connected.
They're all
yeah
in the same city at the same time. They just happen to be.
Exactly.
And they're all connected.
Exactly.
But they don't find the kid at the end of the movie.
No.
They reveal.
Yeah. At the end,
just kind of reveal they're all in the same place.
He looks enough like Ben Affleck to be like, oh, that could be the missing son. Now you tie it all together.
Right. So, like, at the end, oh, shit, like, these guys are all basically involved in the same thing tangentially.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah.
So, you say there's an apartment building, right? And then next to it is, like, some kind of civic center or something. And he tells Ben Affleck, we saw your son at this apartment building, whatever. But then Idris Elba is checking out, well, their next target is this convention center. So, they're both there. Around there, and the one car pulls up and only shows the one dude in there, and that.
But we need some exposition, right, to show that the kid is the son.
Yeah,
I'm thinking like, you know, the mom is kind of like cherishing this object that was the kid's.
Okay.
And at the end, as the kid like gets out of the car, there's like a window display or something, and there it displays the same object.
He kind of lingers and stares at it.
Okay.
And boom, that's the reveal. It's him.
Okay. I like that.
And it kind of flashes back to him.
Yeah, you kind of have like the Kaiser Soze moment.
Yeah.
Where it's like, all right, here are these small hints.
Well, that would
just
be...
just got goosebumps.
Or he's in the car, right? So when his dad's showing him how to hunt, he shows him like a specific way to do something. Load a gun, do something with it. And he does that specific thing while he's in the car.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one of those hints that gets dropped maybe earlier in the movie. Because the way I see it...
You don't see the kid's face.
Exactly.
You just see him loading the gun the same way the father...
You never see this guy's face until the very end. And it could be, you know, creative shooting, masks, whatever you want to use.
Maybe you hear him speaking a different language, so you never connect it to, oh, this kid's American.
There you go. So you can have the thing that flashes back to his dad, and then you can have, like, when he pulls up, he's on the phone with... Daily Show guy. So you hear his voice, you realize this is the terrorist.
Middle Eastern correspondent.
Then you realize he does this thing that makes you realize he's also the kid. But you never have to really come out and say it.
Okay.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Guys, we're fucking good at this.
Exposition, man. You got to show it, not say it.
Yeah.
People don't have to say it. You just feel it.
Dude, I want this movie to get made.
I want all of our movies to get made.
You're not going to want to get line made on the next one.
Oh, man.
We'll see. We'll workshop it. And at the end of the episode, I bet we're all like, now I want to see this movie.
Yeah, because, I mean, the three of us together come up with some pretty fucking good ideas.
let's pat ourselves on the back a little bit longer.
Right? So, Chester, butt taps.
Butt taps for this movie?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I love comedies. This a more serious movie than I would go see necessarily at the theater. But the fact that I'm involved in it, I'm going to give it 4.5 butt taps.
Okay.
That's
now,
very nice.
Now, hold on. I do. The butt tap rating system came into play because of Good Game. right. when we were talking about video games. So I don't know if that rating system really plays on the movie scale, but we'll okay. carry on.
Okay.
4.5 butt taps and an Oscar nomination.
Ooh,
oh, yeah. Man, somebody's getting, Affleck, somebody's getting an Oscar nomination out of this shit, dude.
Yeah.
Like, easy.
You got a cast there. Come on.
Easy. Oh,
yeah.
Charles.
Let's give it to the white kid who only shows up at the very end.
Dude, I guarantee you somebody would do. They'd be like, he's so powerful in this movie.
Right?
And he doesn't talk. I'm a sucker for a good political thriller. So I would give it a solid like four by taps.
Yeah. I think I'm also just going off the premise alone. Not having seen the movie yet. I'd also go to four because I love like Clear and Present Danger and shit. Dude. Like I fucking love that kind of stuff.
Oh,
Patriot Games.
Shit.
I love that shit. Murder at 1600.
Yeah.
I love that shit. I fucking love it. So, yeah, I think I would really enjoy this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, man. Idris Elba.
Yeah, you can't go. Like
I love Idris. I'm not a big fan of the Ben Affleck, but.
I'm not a huge Ben Affleck fan either, but.
Sometimes he's good.
But that motherfucker does depressed and unhappy so fucking
He really
good.
Does.
Like, it's almost like he's not acting.
Right?
Like, it's almost as he's like, shit, my child support payments
have you guys ever
to
seen
Jennifer
that
Garner are due.
What's that?
Gone Girl?
I haven't seen it.
Fuck, dude. He's good in that movie.
Is
he's
it?
Really
okay.
fucking good.
I'll check it out.
It's also a really good movie.
All right. Well, I really enjoyed this one. I don't know if I'm going to be able to top this.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
don't
man.
Do that to yourself, Ryan. Don't do that to yourself.
Good,
you just
got
to focus on your idea, bro.
I
That's
aim to
it.
Disappoint.
Tank, tank it.
I'm gonna tank girl it.
As I say, he's gonna come up with fucking tank girl 2, isn't he?
Tank girl 2?
The tankening.
Fuck.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right.
Charles, take us out.
Well, what is this? Episode 3 now,
Number
right?
2. Pilot. We had the pilot.
The pilot was episode 0.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah.
So this is episode 2.
I'm the fucking one that called it 02. So for episode 2 of Steel Reeling, I'm Charles.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Chester. That's a wrap.